It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Frank Brogan is a lifelong educator who spent 8 years as lieutenant governor under then-Florida Governor Jeb Bush before returning to academia. He became chancellor of Florida's public university system in 2009, and a few months ago, Mr. Brogan took over as chancellor of Pennsylvania's state system of higher education. It's a system facing a number of challenges, including declining enrollments, stagnant state support, and tuition issues. I'm joined now by phone by Frank Brogan. Chancellor Brogan, thanks for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, it's great to be with you and your listeners. Thanks for having me.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. How do you think the state system of higher education can be improved in Pennsylvania? What are the issues you would like to see addressed? 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Chancellor Brogan, Governor Corbett has challenged schools within the state system of higher ed to maximize their resources, keep tuition increases low, and tie programs to state workforce needs. How does that fit with your strategic plan for the future?
Well, in fact, for our universities, and of course, Paul, some people are still confused, and understandably, based on the governance structure. The universities that I oversee are the 14 public state-owned universities, and of course in Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth, there are also four what are called state-related universities. They are Penn State and Pittsburgh and Temple and Lincoln. My 14 universities within our system are, for example, in the western part of the state, Slippery Rock and Edinburgh, Cal. Over on the eastern part are Westchester and Cheney and Clarion on the west. So you've got 14 universities scattered across the Commonwealth that comprise the PASHE, or Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education Universities. To your good question then, yes, the prime mission laid out in law for the PASHE schools as this system was created about 30 years ago was to dedicate itself to being the most affordable system of public higher education in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We continue to be that, but as you might imagine, costs going up, it continues to become more and more difficult to maintain that kind of a status. So the governor's call is an important one, and it is important to resonate to our system to make sure that we always are mindful of our costs so that we're never in danger of pricing students and their families out of an affordable higher educational experience.
I outlined some of the challenges that you face here in Pennsylvania, stagnant state support, declining enrollments. How do you plan to address these issues?
Yeah, I call it the perfect storm. I, as you pointed out in your preamble, came from a different state as the chancellor of the state system in Florida and found some of exactly the same kind of challenges, declining subsidy from the state legislature, inability for all of the universities to be able to just simply keep raising tuition and fees to make up some of the difference because they can, in light of the fact that the markets are simply catching up with many of our universities, and raising tuition and fees is not as easy as it once was because it's having a negative impact on, again, students and their families. And then, of course, here, almost a perfect storm component is that of declining enrollment in some of our state universities. And, of course, in the western part of the state, you see some of our schools like Edinburgh that have been facing some declining enrollment over the past several years, not because of anything that Edinburgh is doing or not doing, but because of the demographic shifts that we're seeing in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So you put all of those factors together, it's provided some challenges and how for many of our universities, but for our system as a whole. So those are some of the obvious challenges, most of which are financial that we're facing. But even beyond that, there are challenges that we face as a system. And that is, I could put under one umbrella as saying, how do we look at creating a vision for each of our 14 universities, regardless of geography, regardless of size, for the next 30 years. You know, most of these universities, if all of them, as a matter of fact, in my system, are over 100 years of age. Some of them are 150, 175 years of age. And that's an important historical note. But what vision do we have for those 14 for the next 30 to 50 years in the future of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania? And that's what we're working on right now.
We're talking with Frank Brogan, Chancellor of Pennsylvania's State System of Higher Education. If you'd like to join the conversation, maybe you are a student within the system, a parent of a student. Maybe there are tuition concerns that you have, or perhaps you are someone who works within the system. You are in academia. What questions or comments do you have for Chancellor Brogan? Now is your chance to talk with him at 412-246-2002. Again, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. In your view, Chancellor Brogan, what is the biggest challenge facing the state system of higher education in Pennsylvania right now?
Well, Paul, beyond the obvious, which is the financial challenges people face, there's internal challenge. And that challenge comes with looking at the great things that each of our universities have done in the past and building a future for each of our universities. That means tough choices. At one point, it was important that all 14 universities offer essentially the same academic program array because most of the students were place-bound and needed to have access locally to a system of higher education that wouldn't shut them out of academic programs because they couldn't move to other places to chase that degree. Times have obviously changed. Economy of scale has obviously changed. And now it's becoming not only economically impossible to replicate 14 times across a giant state the same academic programs, it's also become less necessary. Because now with the mobility of students, with the ability for universities to better focus as to what general programs they want to offer and then what specific courses of major they want to offer, the need to replicate 14 times the same program array just isn't there anymore. So with that, a very important function of where we're headed as a system is trying to work with each of our universities to tease out the academic programs, both general education programs and specific courses of major that they would like to provide for the students in their region that also help the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania on a bigger scale. And that's what we've been engaged in. Those are tough choices. They impact people. But at the end of the day, in a state that is arguably one of, if not the most competitive state in the country with over 300 public and private institutions of higher education, it's an essential part of what we're going to have to do for the next 30 years in our system of higher ed in PASHE.
How much of a challenge for Western Pennsylvania has been schools in Ohio and Michigan offering in-state tuition to Pennsylvania students?
That's a great question. And, of course, we're dealing with that right now for a good number of years. Of course, the Commonwealth has many border states. It was not unusual to see students from not only Ohio, but in other parts of the Commonwealth, New Jersey, New York, to come across the border and come to our system schools. Those sending states have all adjusted over time to be more internally competitive and keep their students home, downward their in-state tuition. So right now, what schools like Edinburgh, for example, have done is come forward to the Board of Governors and say, hey, look, instead of just looking at general tuition issues, what if we did some price pointing? And what, Paul, would it be like if we might decrease the level of out-of-state tuition that we were charging to students so that we might once again take advantage of the capacity that we do have based on declining enrollment within the state and bring in more students from out of state, be more competitive. The Board of Governors has approved that plan at not only one, but several of our universities, and we hope that we will once again be an attractive destination point for more out-of-state students while not impacting our in-state numbers because these are schools that have the capacity available.
State Senator Andrew Dinneman, a professor on leave from Westchester University, the largest of the state system schools, said that you must respect that the Pennsylvania state system has been a loose federation. What about what Senator Dinniman is saying here?
Well, first of all, I remind people that I have read Act 188, which is the implementing language creating and charging our 14 university system that was created years ago when the system was first created. And nowhere in that act do I find the words loose-knit confederation of institutions. That's what some people would love to have, which is code for leave us alone and let us do whatever we want to do. Listen, being a part of a system has so many advantages associated with it. That's why the majority of public university students in the country are in universities that are parts of systems. As a matter of fact, most of the public universities that are held aloft every year as the finest and most productive schools in the United States, those public institutions, for the most part, are parts of systems. So at the end of the day, it's a matter of finding a balance between creating an organized approach to assisting and supporting our universities to the dictatorial power that some suggest we should never have, and I agree with them. But nowhere is there a suggestion that this should be an every man for himself system that is inefficient. It doesn't work not only for the individual institutions and the system, it's bad for the Commonwealth. We have to organize the academic programs. We have to organize support services. We have to always be on the guard against inefficient productivity, inefficient duplication or unnecessary duplication of effort, and that means a system has got to work with those 14 universities. By the way, I'll end here on that and simply say our system lie in our 14 universities. They are the system that we work for every single day, but there has to be an organized approach to it, lest you have 14 institutions of higher education critical to the future of the Commonwealth and their students wandering potentially adrift without an organized approach to this.
412-246-2002, the number to call to get in on the conversation with Frank Brogan, who is the chancellor of the Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education. And let's go to the phones. We have a number of people that have questions for you, Chancellor Brogan, so we are going to get to all of them, or as many as we can, starting with Don in Pittsburgh. Don, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Don, are you there?
Hello?
Yes. Hi, Don. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Chancellor Brogan. I appreciate what you've said so far. My question, and it's sort of a multi-point question, it has to do with the intercollegiate athletic programs mounted by your system, and actually, I mean, it's more obvious for the bigger national colleges, but even for the small colleges, it matters. The two issues that I have with the intercollegiate program is that there's a lot of money in the program. There's a lot of money spent, and there's a lot of money made, and that money is a corrupting influence on the people whose jobs depend on it. We've seen a number of times it break into the news when college athletes are accused of sexual assault and the coaching staff and others try to hide it. And the other issue is the issue of head injury, which is clearly coming to the fore, and there's very little question in my mind as a head injury researcher that if we have this conversation in 10 years or 20 years, every single one of these intercollegiate football programs and hockey programs are going to be shut down.
So, Don, let me just jump in, because it sounds like the question you're asking here, is it that the chancellor needs to take a look at the athletic programs at these state schools and whether they fit in with the vision of the future?
My question is to the chancellor, and my question is, what is he going to do about the intercollegiate athletic programs?
Okay, let's let the chancellor respond. And obviously, Don has outlined some of the negative aspects of these programs. Having taken that into consideration, Chancellor, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Don, I appreciate the questions, and believe me, I agree with the assertion that if done poorly, that intercollegiate activity can have a very negative effect on not only individual institutions, but on higher education. At the end of the day, though, here's the good news about the PASCHE system. First of all, our intercollegiate sports are in Division II. That's not only an important status issue, because Division II is an outstanding category of intercollegiate play, but it's also a financial impact, because the financial impact of operating a Division II program is significantly less based on scholarships and requirements for that level of play than it would be for a Division I program. As a matter of fact, this athletic conference, to which all of our universities belong, is recognized nationally as one of the finest and most efficient athletic conferences in the United States at the Division II level. The second issue you raise is the issue of head injuries. And, of course, I'm a supporter of athletics, but at the end of the day, it's hard to deny the fact that the issue of head injuries grows every single day. I find it interesting that in football, for example, the article of equipment that at one point was created to protect the head has now become used as a weapon and is part of the reason that head injuries are going up at all, which is an unusual irony at the end of the day when you stop and think about it. So much of the study, so much of the research that's being done indicates that we have two choices. We either find better ways to change rules and increase the protection provided by equipment, or ultimately curtail some of the sports that go along with the increase in head injuries, some of which are debilitating and lifelong lasting. So it is an issue we've got to continue to work with. I sat on the board of the NCAA for some years while I was president of a university in Florida, and I can tell you it's an issue that that group takes very seriously, but it's one we can never take seriously enough because it involves the health, safety, and welfare of student-athletes, men and women.
Let's go to Nick in East Liberty. Nick, we're getting tight on time, but go ahead quickly with your question for Chancellor Brogan.
Well, quick question. I'm leading on to the last caller. I'd like to know why academic scholarships aren't valued quite as much as sports scholarships. But the main reason I called was we're a member of the Edinburgh alumni, and with the deficits that are occurring in the school program or in the school funding, why was there such spending on new housing that, from reports that I've gotten, have been substandard?
Yeah, real quick, because I know we are short on time. Real important for people to know, and I understand the confusion. You know, the fact that housing, when it is created, and of course housing is code for the word dormitory, so everybody knows what we're talking about. Student housing on campus can only be constructed with non-state dollars. So when a housing construction project is done, and it's not just in Pennsylvania, but most places across the country, it is impermissible to use state dollars in the construction or the maintenance of those particular facilities. That has to be done through a bonding deal, and it has to be done typically via backstopping it via the money that is spent by students on the housing itself to cover the cost of the bonds. So I want to be real clear on that no money from state appropriation goes in to the housing projects that are created across the Commonwealth. Housing, however, is an important part of what universities provide, and most of the research bears out that the students who actually live, believe it or not, in the housing on a campus, on a proportionate side, fare better academically than the students who don't. That doesn't count every student, obviously, that's generally speaking, but it is, for most universities, a very important part of university life.
Very quickly, there are those who contend that the state system of higher education sets policies that prop up schools with weaker enrollments while slowing needed expansion elsewhere. There is state legislation to address these complaints that it may be on the way, including a provision letting stronger schools secede. Would you support that? And what about those other concerns?
I have real problems with the proposal. I have not seen actual legislation to date, but what I'm hearing is that schools that are of a particular size, just based on their size, and then their financial ability to buy out the state assets upon which they were built, whether it's land and or buildings, would be permitted to go and become a state-related school, a la Penn State and Temple. At the end of the day, size, believe it or not, has very little or nothing to do with the quality of an institution. There are incredibly successful institutions of 2,000 students in the country. There are very mediocre schools of 15,000 around the country. And unfortunately, our system of funding lends itself to the idea that bigger is better. And I think we're looking at that allocation formula right now. It's what's provided at a university that is most important. So the notion that a school like Edinburgh, for example, which has lost some of its enrollment, then therefore is less of a school than another university that has stayed buoyant or increased their enrollment, just is wrong-headed thinking. Edinburgh is a strong, outstanding university. Clarion is a strong, outstanding university. We now have to organize and build a business model for the number of students that they have to support and move away from the thought that because they've lost some enrollment, they've therefore lost some of the quality that they provide. The two do not equate.
Frank Brogan is the Chancellor of Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education, joining us by phone. Chancellor Brogan, thank you so much for spending time with us today on Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, listen, thank you to you and your listeners, and I'll be happy to come back someday and provide some additional information. I'm very proud of this state university system, our 14 schools, and what they've done and will continue to do for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Thanks again, sir. Coming up, we'll look at how environmental issues are impacting communities of color. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.